Illinois Department of Human Services, Mr. Andrews.
May it please the court, counsel. This case was decided on summary judgment with respect to discrimination and retaliation claims, disparate impact, and disparate treatment. For the most part, we'll stand on our brief with respect to everything except the disparate treatment claim. Disparate treatment claim, the district court judge found that there was not a prima facie case established because there was no indication that a white candidate for the position sought to have an interview after the deadline date and was granted it while my client was denied it. And so therefore, using that analytical construct, made the determination that there was no similarly situated employee. We respectfully state that that's an incorrect way of viewing what occurred here, because the deadline that was originally set, and the argument in fact made by the defendant in the brief, in their briefs, was that the deadline had been set and had to be adhered to because there had to be scheduled interviews within a certain period of time. What happened here, though, was my client, the deadline originally was set for, I think it was July 7th, my client did not receive the notice until late and called on July 8th, indicating that he wanted to have an interview, which was a requirement to be considered for the job. The originally scheduled time for interview was approximately a week later. That time was changed, and so we had an additional week added to the situation that wasn't there before. And in addition, the place, the location of the interviews that were to take place at this, were at the same place that my client actually worked. There was no indication that anyone who had been involved in this pool ever made a request to be interviewed after the deadline date was changed or the interview date was changed. So there is no person to compare my client to who in fact wanted to have an interview and was refused an interview. There were, in fact, some people who declined even to request an interview. My client was the only person who requested an interview and was denied an interview. And the rationale that this deadline that had been set up had to be adhered to because there was needed time to set up the interviews fails because the deadline date or the date of the interviews had changed. And so we feel that that should not be an impediment to my client being able to proceed and have a determination made by the jury whether or not the denial of this interview was done discriminatorily.
But is there a question about whether he was even qualified for this position?
There is a question as to that, and the argument made was, I think it was, that he had to have 4 years in the power plant, in a power plant position. Again, this is what is part of the problem with this case, the catch-22 of the case. The power plant position is one of those skilled craft positions that my client made the point that they never posted. You have the situation then where if the situation is not posted, if the position is not posted, you obviously can't apply for it. If you don't apply for it, you can't get it, and if you don't get it, you don't get the experience.
But there could be a discriminatory exclusion of someone from, you know, information he needed to apply for a job, but if as a result of this he wasn't qualified, then he couldn't get the job, could he?
That may well be, but at a bare minimum he would be entitled to have some equitable relief in this whole interview and posting process that was taking place.
Is that what you're, are you seeking that?
That was part of what you're seeking? Yes. So that, you know, there still should have not been summary judgment simply because he may not have fit the qualifications, particularly where the qualifications rested on a discriminatory system that didn't permit him to get that experience. So that created a kind of a catch-22 that he couldn't overcome. The interesting thing about this case is that this particular facility, the Ludeman facility, was a facility where there were a great number of black employees who were interested in skilled positions, and those employees were not afforded the same opportunities as in other facilities where there could be postings and there was adherence to the requirements for posting that was set up by the agency itself. In this case, the allegation is that the agency didn't follow its own rules in terms of posting. There are some arguments, too, about a computerized system that the agency claims was available to everyone, but that they never bothered to tell any of the black employees that they had access to. So our position basically is that this whole late interview process, the comparison between an allegedly white employee who requested a late interview is false for a couple of reasons. One is that there was no instance where another employee requested an interview and didn't get it. And also, based upon the fact that the interview date had changed, the entire rationale for the deadline just simply evaporated. For those reasons, consideration should have been given to the possibility that a reasonable jury could determine that based on my client's race, which was in fact known to the persons involved, that he was denied these opportunities.
This Ludeman, I was puzzled by it. Why does this Ludeman Center have its own power plant? I don't understand.
I have no answer for you on that one. And I'm not certain that if Ludeman Center has a power plant or the agency statewide has power plant positions. I'm really not clear on that at all. With respect to the retaliation issues, the only point I'd want to make on that is that clearly my client had engaged in protected activity in the past. This was the first time he had an opportunity to apply for a skilled position other than the one that he had actually settled a case on in 1992, and he was again being denied the opportunity to proceed on this. And so we feel that there's at least a possibility of a reasonable jury finding that retaliation may have been at hand here. I would like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Andrew. Mr. Lyons? Maybe you can answer my question. Why this development center has its own power plant, if that's what it is?
I'm not sure about that either, Your Honor. I do know from the record that it's a large facility. It's a square mile on each, side.
Oh.
So there are many buildings.
Hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of. It's sufficiently large enough. This case revolves around, at least the disparate treatment aspect of the case revolves around two key facts. One is that Mr. Settles missed the deadline that had been established for everybody to apply for this position. And second, he was not qualified for the position that he was seeking. Now, Mr. Settles argues for the first time on appeal that in this argument that the fact that he cannot point to any similarly situated white applicant should be excused because there were no white applicants. No one else had actually asked for an interview after the deadline. I think one response to that is that this simply shows how strict the department was in enforcing its deadline. Hiring coordinator at Adesso testified that she had never interviewed anyone who had failed to ask for an interview by the deadline, and Mr. Settles could not identify anyone in his deposition. As far as I know, Mr. Settles did not do a lot of discovery as in trying to find out if there had been any other individuals who may have requested an interview after the deadline. But the fact is, it was a strict deadline. The evidence supported that. This is what they told him when he asked for an interview. It's what the evidence, this was confirmed on the evidence brought out on discovery, and it's confirmed by how the department operated over previous years, and that no one had ever been allowed to interview who had not asked for an interview by the deadline. Mr. Settles also argues that the rationale for the deadline is gone and that the interview was moved from July 8th to July 13th. It was true that the explanation was that they had to have a certain amount of time in order to prepare for the interviews. But the department does have this policy, a strict policy of adhering to the deadlines, and there are only a couple of exceptions. One is that the position is critical to the direct care of patients, and the other is that there are more vacancies than there are applicants, and neither of those exceptions apply here. Mr. Sells apparently wants the department to create a new exception for him in his particular case, but it's not discriminatory for the department to adhere to this policy.
What about his argument on the other point that because of the failure to post and grooming and word of mouth systems that blacks were negatively impacted and that there are no blacks in those skilled craft positions? Can you speak to that point he was making?
I think that goes to the disparate impact analysis. First of all, the claim that there were word of mouth recruiting and grooming of white employees, this is essentially based on Mr. Settle's speculation. He cannot identify any individual who was, in fact, hired by word-of-mouth recruiting or grooming. He speculates that the person who got the stationary engineer position that he thought, John Lutzinger, was recruited by word-of-mouth recruiting, but he doesn't know. He can't say who may have done this or any of the details. The only alleged employment practice that there is some evidence for is the lack of posting. The problem he faces in his disparate impact claim is that he must show that this practice caused a significantly disparate impact on black employees, and he can't make that showing, or he doesn't make that showing. He does show that 4% of the skilled craft workers within the entire department were black, but then compares that to the statewide population of percentage of blacks statewide as opposed to the percentage of blacks in the relevant labor market who were qualified for skilled craft positions. These are positions like stationary engineer, locksmith, electrician, plumber. So not just anyone in the population can do these jobs. So I submit that his statistical analysis is incomplete with respect to his disparate impact claim. If the court has any other questions, we simply ask that the court affirm. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lai. Mr. Andrey, how much time do you have? 3 minutes?
Briefly, Judge. Well, counsel is correct that there were some statistics that indicated that there were approximately 4% blacks in the skilled craft positions statewide. The proof was that there was absolutely no black who was hired from Ludeman for any skilled craft positions. And the proof was that, in part, because these persons were interested, this was based upon the lack of posting at Ludeman, which was, again, a facility with a very high concentration of blacks. So, again, a reasonable jury could look at that and see that it had negative impacts on blacks. And as counsel concedes, there was evidence that there was a failure to post, at least an argument that there was a failure to post in accordance with the policy. For that reason, we feel that Mr. Settles was entitled to have a fact finder make a determination, and that summary judgment was inappropriate here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel, and the court will stand in recess.